You know, when Satan sees frustration in a human heart, he takes advantage of the situation, like the coward he is, and he tries all the harder to tempt the heart of this poor guy into shutting itself off in bitterness. But what was it that pushed Judas so hard into betraying Jesus? Was it love of money? Was he perhaps jealous of his master? Jesus had power, yes. He performed miracles, yes. Everyone loved him. The only answer is that we don't know. Only one thing is clear. Judas' heart was devoured by a ruling passion. And Jesus knew this. And so he purposely stretched out to Judas a helping hand. The first time we see Jesus do this was at the Last Supper. Remember, the 12 are all there. It's the supreme moment of love. Jesus' heart is aflame with a great love. He says,
"How I have longed to eat this Passover with you before my death."
As we hear his word during the supper, we can feel the great sweetness of love pouring out from his heart. Jesus is tortured to see what is at work in Judas' heart, and he tries to help him by saying,
"One of you will betray me."
Jesus is troubled in his heart. Seeing the tempter hovering around Judas, he tries to bring the state of temptation out into broad daylight. He knows that exposing the tricks of the evil one will weaken the hold he has on Judas. We all know that when an evil intention is brought out into daylight, it loses its power. And this is precisely what Jesus does, warning us before we take a false step. Here, during the supper, Jesus reaches out to Judas, in a sense saying to him, "Listen, my child, I'm giving you a last chance now that everybody knows. It's easy for you to own up to your sin, and you will then be free. Let it go, come clean." And what does the voice of the evil one say? "Don't say a word, keep quiet. If you confess, then you'll have to give it up. Keep your mouth shut. What's in it for you to own up? If you blow your cover, no one will understand you. You'll be singled out." My brother and sister, isn't that what the tempter whispers to our ears when we are tempted? He always tells us to keep our temptation secret in the dark because he's afraid of the light. And that's why Jesus invites Judas to confess his sin by bringing the plot into the light of day. The evil one doesn't want this to happen because he wants to prevent such a confession from ever taking place. You know, Satan tries all manner of means to make fun of confession and to make us feel too embarrassed to do it. Why? Because he knows that if we confess our sin, it's all over for him. He reigns only in darkness, and the full light of day is death to him. Yes, he knows that Jesus is the light that destroys the darkness. You know, the evil one trembles at the sight of a soul determined to go confess his sin. We all experience the same attacks of anxiety or hesitation before running to confession after any period of time. Aren't we often assailed by 1,000 reasons not to go? That's typical. But Judas doesn't seize the helping hand that the Lord stretches out to him. So he will be more and more afraid of the light. Jesus had hoped that his word would bring Judas back, but it didn't work. So Jesus tries again with even greater love. You know, for the Jewish people, it's that night, it's Passover, the Last Supper that they call Pesach. And on that night, all the guests used to recline at table on cushions, like royalty. They are royal because they were delivered from slavery in Egypt. During the meal, Jesus stretches out his hand and offers a bit of food to Judas. You remember? In the Jewish tradition, when a man wants to express his love, his affection to someone, he offers him a bit of food in front of other people. And this gesture has a specific meaning. It says, in fact, that you are the one I honor today. And by doing this, Jesus, although he was aware of the evil plan of Judas, Jesus expressly made a public show of respect for him. Let us recall that Judas had been reproved before the others over the bathing of Jesus' feet with the perfumed oils. At that point, Jesus had said to him,
"For you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me."
Maybe Judas had felt humiliated by this reproof from Jesus, but here, at the Passover supper, Jesus makes a public show of honoring him. What is more, how could Jesus have handed him a morsel if Judas had not been reclining nearby? When you recline and lean on your elbow, you can't reach a person at the other side of the table. And we know that John was next to Jesus, resting on Jesus' chest. But isn't it likely that Judas was on the other side of Jesus? Jesus was like a mother who keeps her weakest child nearest to her, the one who has the greatest need. It is the sick child and not the healthy ones that she pays the most attention to. She keeps him near her out of motherly tenderness. She's anxious about him. She fears for his life and she watches over him. And in the same way, Jesus keeps Judas close by his side. Isn't it incredible?